Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Dr. Larry Spargimino will begin his timely series on the faithfulness of God. Larry Stamm will have a Messianic Minute, and Greg Patton will share insight on living in today's world. As always, we appreciate you spending part of your day with us. Hello to all of our new friends who are listening for the first time today. Hey, if you're a new listener to the program, maybe you listen on the radio, or maybe you listen online. Well, if you're new to Watchmen on the Wall, be sure to request your free new listener pack. The pack includes a welcome letter, history of the ministry, and a free gift. Get your free new listener pack by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Now, let's open our Bibles as Pastor Larry comes to share with us the faithfulness of God.
Faithfulness is a moral attribute of God, an inherent characteristic which is revealed in Scripture and displayed by God's activity in history and in His constant care over His people to make good on His promises to His people. God's faithfulness means that we can trust Him. No matter what the situation, what the need, we can trust Him to do the right thing. Though we may stray from Him, He never strays from us. As the Lord and His disciples passed the withered fig tree, our Lord gave His disciples a crash course on faith, beginning with these words, "Have faith in God." That's from Mark 11:22. However, this command is really best understood not as a call for us to develop the personal quality of faith, but rather a call to hang on to God's faithfulness. Hudson Taylor always said that those words should be translated not so much "have faith in God," as much as "hold on to the faithfulness of God." It became the motto of Hudson Taylor's life and work on the mission field. Taylor acknowledged that we are to have faith in God, but if you put it in that way, "have faith in God," the emphasis seems to be on your faith. "It is not that," said Hudson Taylor. "It is the faithfulness of God that really matters. When you hold on to God's faithfulness, you can rest in His faithfulness. God is unchanging. God is faithful. He will never change." That is what faith in God really means. Whatever may be happening to you, wherever you are, hold on to the faithfulness of God. Holding on to the faithfulness of God means that it is a divine attribute that we have to keep in sharp focus. It is a point of reference, a beacon of hope. What is rather amazing about the faithfulness of God is that it is the quality that allows us to remain in relationship with God despite our tendency to sin and stray away from God. Paul writes, "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." The way of escape is not the removal of the problem, but making it possible for God's child to bear, to endure, to live with the problem without being cast down. Too often we see our weaknesses and feel helpless to resist temptation, but that is a wrong perspective that leads to almost certain failure. Instead, if we hold on to the faithfulness of God, as Hudson Taylor recommended, it becomes more than a wishful fantasy to live with the reality of the problem. Divine faithfulness is an important part of the Romans 8:32 package. It says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" All things surely includes God's constant watch care and fatherly blessings that come because God is faithful to those who are His children. The Lamentations of Jeremiah is a very sad book. That's why it is called the Lamentations of Jeremiah. But significantly, one of the greatest and most loved statements in the Bible concerning God's faithfulness is found in Lamentations. In chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, we read, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." The holy city, Jerusalem, was in ruin. The city and the temple had been completely destroyed. In fact, verse 1 of chapter 1 says, "How doth the city sit solitary, that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? How can Jeremiah say, "Great is thy faithfulness," in such a somber setting? Well, because Jeremiah knows that God is faithful in keeping all of his promises. That's why in verse 21 the prophet can say, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Even in wrath, God remembers mercy." Because of God's many promises regarding Israel and the holy city, the destruction of the city and temple in the Babylonian invasion was not the last word. Jeremiah had hope in God because he is faithful. The popular Christian hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," is biblically rich. The first stanza says, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be." So let's look at that. "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." Indeed, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." Verse 1 of "Great is Thy faithfulness" is such an inspiration. I love the words. "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not." Look at those words, "Thou changest not." Men and women can change, but God does not change. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." People change. It is possible that an unfaithful man can become faithful, and it is also possible that a faithful man can become unfaithful. But the very nature of God is that He is unchanging. The theological word used to describe this aspect of God's nature is that He is immutable. The immutability of God has many practical implications that encourage our faith in Him and His faithfulness. The same God who helped you when you were a baby will help you at the end of your life. The same God who heard your grandfather's cry is the same God who will hear your grandson's cry. Since God is the creator and sustainer of all that we see, His faithfulness is seen even in the world around us. Going back to "Great is Thy faithfulness," we read, "Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love." God's faithfulness is seen in the wonderful world He has created. In Psalm 104, verse 24, we read, "O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches." Nature reveals the wisdom and grace of God. The different variety of food shows us the love of God for humanity. The power of a seed when it is planted and multiplies shows His generosity. The sweetness of a flower, the beauty of a sunset, all are demonstrations of His amazing grace. The final verse of "Great is Thy faithfulness" says this, "Pardon for sin and peace that endureth." That pardon for sin was purchased by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. He was faithful in His love for each of us to humble Himself, become a man, live a sin-free life, go to the cross, shed His blood, and pay the penalty for sin. Without His faithfulness, we would not have the benefits of His grace and mercy. And most wonderful of all, God is faithful to complete the work He started in you and in me. We may not realize this, but the moment we sincerely gave our lives to Jesus Christ, God enrolled us in His plan, the plan for our ultimate transformation. He desires for you to become like Jesus Christ, and the same for me. God's goal is that you would become mature and complete. His plan is that we would walk in final victory. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That is the day when Jesus returns for us. There are all those wonderful promises in the Bible of our security in Christ. In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. God stands by His word. The faithfulness of God is far different than the faithfulness of men. Men and women change. They forget their promises. Sometimes we make promises that we can't keep. That never happens with God. The song says, "There is no shadow of turning with thee." That reminds me of James 1:17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." In the Scriptures, there is abundant testimony to the faithfulness of God. God made a land covenant with Abraham, and He has never withdrawn what He has promised. Though the Jewish people have been scattered around the world, God promised they would return to the land He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of their descendants. God promised to save Noah and his family, and He did. God promised to bless Ishmael and his descendants, and He did. God promised Moses to deliver His people, and He did. He is faithful. The Bible testifies to that fact. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with a temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Now notice the promise. The Lord is faithful, and He will keep you from evil. There is a wonderful example of this in Acts chapter 23. The Apostle Paul was before the Sanhedrin. He noticed that some of the members of the Sanhedrin were Sadducees and some were Pharisees, so Paul appealed to the Pharisees. The Pharisees believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees did not. So Paul shouted out to the Pharisees and said, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question." That's from Acts 23, verse 6. Now verse 7 says, "And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided." The anger between the Pharisees and the Sadducees was so heated that the commander was afraid Paul was in danger. Both groups were clawing at Paul, and it looked like Paul would be torn apart. So the commander ordered his soldiers to go and rescue Paul by force and take the apostle back to the fortress for safekeeping. That night the Lord appeared to Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." God is sovereign, and we're going to see how God worked behind the scenes using angry people and a relative to remain faithful to His promise to the apostle that just as he bore witness to Christ in Jerusalem, he would also bear witness to Christ in the capital of the Roman Empire. The Scripture tells us that the next morning a group of Jews got together and bound themselves under oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. This was an oath of absolute intention. More than 40 of them were involved in this plot to kill the apostle. "We will eat nothing until we have killed this man Paul," they announced to the leading priest. They told the religious leaders to go to the commander and ask him to bring Paul back to the Sanhedrin again. "Pretend that you want to examine his case more carefully. We will ambush him on the way." At this point, we wonder, what will happen to the apostle? Will he be ambushed, beaten, speared, and stabbed and never get to Rome? But remember, God is faithful to His promises, and here's how God worked it all out. It is amazing. Paul had a nephew, his sister's son. The boy heard of this plan to ambush Paul, so he went to the fortress and told Paul. Paul called for one of the Roman officers and said, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something important to tell him." So the officer did and explained to the commander that the boy has something important to tell him. The boy, Paul's sister's son, told the commander about the plot to kill Paul. As a result, Paul is sent to Caesarea. He got there with an armed guard, hundreds of them, soldiers, spearmen, and horsemen. The commander ordered that 200 soldiers would leave in the evening, and he would also send 200 spearmen along with 70 mounted troops. They would provide horses for Paul to ride, and Paul would arrive safely and have a meeting with the governor in Caesarea, who was Felix. Now, why did all of this happen? How was it that Paul's nephew heard of the plot? How was it that the commander would listen to what the boy had to say? How was it that Paul would be sent to Caesarea to visit with the governor, escorted by 470 soldiers? The answer is easy. God is faithful. God was being faithful to his promise, which he had given to Paul in Acts 23:11. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. When God makes a promise, he can keep his promise. When God intends to be faithful and to bring a plan to pass, he can do so. God has the intent, the means, and the ability to be absolutely faithful. God is faithful. Now, the question for me to ask, are you faithful? Are you faithful to God? He is faithful to you. Are you faithful to him? In 1980, a young lady entered the Boston Marathon. She started the race looking great. As the runners approached the finish line, she was leading the pack. She was way ahead of everyone else. The crowds went wild as she crossed the finish line. It was really amazing. She was so fast and so far ahead of everyone else that some people were very suspicious. When they examined the situation, they found that the young woman had started the race, but then left running and got on the subway, rode the subway for 16 miles, got off the subway, got back onto the route and crossed the finish line first. When her cheating was discovered, she was disqualified. Some people start living the Christian life but have jumped on the subway. We expect God to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," but we can't fool God. He is going to know that you left the race and jumped on the subway. God is faithful to each one of us. Now is a good time to commit yourself or recommit yourself to faithfulness in all that you do. You know, friends, we live in times of wonderful opportunity. Yes, there are challenges and there are difficulties, but God is looking for men and women who are faithful, who will obey and who will do the will of God, who will put God first as God has put us first in his wonderful plan. I think one of the great things that we need today is a growing remnant of faithful believers who love Jesus Christ, who are washed in the blood, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, put no limits on God and his power. Are you in that faithful remnant? Will you stand up? Will you go forward? Will you faithfully do the work that God has called us to do? I pray that we all will do that. Like I say, these are days of great opportunity, but God is waiting on each and every one of us. The hope that I have is that the church will stand up. Our work is to empower you, to remind you of the amazing faithfulness of God, that we can go forward, that we can do his work, and God will bless, and we will see good results.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Dr. Spargimino will continue this discussion on the faithfulness of God on our next program. All this week, we are highlighting a special group of resources we know you will find informative and encouraging. This special offer includes 5 books from our library of today's best Bible teachers, a prophecy DVD, and our 2021 prophecy calendar. All of this, a $120 value, can be yours today for a gift of $30 or more. Order your resource box today by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order online, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. When you visit our website, be sure to check out the conferences we have scheduled. Online and in-person conferences are on the calendar for this year. Registration is now open for all conferences. Special add-ons are also available. Speakers scheduled include Billy Crone, Todd Friel, Bill Federer, Greg Patton, Larry Stamm, Michael Smith, as well as Dr. Larry Spargimino, Dr. Kenneth Hill, and James Collins. Visit swrc.com and click on the Conferences tab at the top of the homepage. Now, let's take a look at biblical connections through a Jewish lens with Larry Stamm and today's Messianic Minute.
Shalom, friends. Larry Stamm here with a Messianic Minute. Biblical connections through a Jewish lens. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." This foundational concept, the just shall live by faith, was a direct quote from the Jewish prophet Habakkuk. The apostle would articulate this idea of justification by faith more fully in Romans 4, using the faith of Abraham as his primary example. "Thank God that he declares we his children righteous, not because of what we have done, but because of our faith in what Jesus has done for us. Praise the Lord." For more connections, visit our website at larrystamm.org or see our Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page.
Friends, if you would like a copy of today's program, call 1-800-652-1144 or visit online swrc.com. Living in today's world can be scary. It can be funny. It's always interesting. Pastor and author Greg Patton is here to share a story about living in today's world.
Hey, are you a good soul winner? How often do you take an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with others deliberately? I have a couple of stories I think you will find interesting here, reference to telling others about Jesus Christ. One of them has to do with a Baptist preacher in Connersville, Indiana, years ago. This man's wife, who's not attending church, continued to come and had Pastor pray about his salvation. He just would not come. So she asked if he just might stop by one more time and talk to her husband. That was her request about souls, and his in particular. It was quite a meeting. The man was very belligerent, very nasty, and Pastor was kind of short after trying so many times to win him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had these final words. He said, "So, no is your answer to getting saved?" And the man said, "Absolutely." And the pastor said, "I've never used a line like this. Don't know if I ever would." He said, "Go to hell, then." What? Are you kidding me? That was his actual line. Headed to the car, the man started yelling at him. Pastor drove back to the church. Guess who followed him? All the way to church. This man followed up and said, "What do you think you're saying? What do you think you're And so he said, "You said you didn't have any interest in being saved and going to heaven. I just told your eternal destiny where you are going to go." Can I tell you how that ended? Maybe you've already guessed. He led that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you consider that an unorthodox way of sharing Jesus? I certainly would. I can't imagine myself even saying that. Here's one. My father was one tough guy. My preacher, Dr. James Bachman, was thrown out of my dad's house more than once. I love this preacher. He's a goal-getter. He says, "I'm going to keep on going until." I'm kind of different. You can tell me no a few times. That pretty well does it for me. But some are so committed and have such a belief in God's program of salvation that nothing will stop them. And I've got to tell you, a day came when my father became very ill and was dying in the local hospital when Pastor Bachman went to see him one more time and share Jesus Christ. It was so exciting to hear my preacher say, "You wouldn't have believed it, Greg. As soon as I started, something was so different. For the first time, your dad's eyes met my eyes, and I could tell it was real." And he said, "Dallas, I'm going to tell you one more time from the Word of God how you can know that heaven is your home." And Pastor Bachman presented the gospel one more time, and he said, "I'm going to ask you, Dallas, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as Savior?" My dad said yes on his hospital bed. And Pastor was so excited. He said, "Your dad, with the stroke that he had, couldn't talk very well. And I asked him if he would permit me to lead him in the sinner's prayer and ask Christ into his heart And he said, your dad mumbled along with me, but I could see in his face when we were finished that indeed he had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I said, preacher, I know that you stopped and saw my dad several times and witnessed to him several times, but could I ask you, how many times do you think that you talked to my dad about Jesus? There was a pause, and preacher said, I think I probably shared Jesus with your dad 300 to 400 times, Greg. 300 to 400 times. That's an incredible number, my friend. You just never know how God is going to work. One man, very unorthodox and really quite challenging, as he shared Jesus, yes or no, take it or leave it. With another man, it was never leave it. It was always take it. Always take it. And I thank God in both cases, it worked, my friend. Both of these men, including my father, said yes to Jesus Christ. Today, maybe someone out there you know, well, you know they need Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's tell them about Jesus today. There are thousands of stories as we live in today's world. This has been one.
Living in Today's World with Greg Patton is one of our news segments you'll hear from time to time on the program. Along with Bible in the News, Ask Pastor Larry, The Bible Says, and A Moment of Prophecy, these segments are designed to inform and encourage you in your Christian faith. Our hope is that the Bible-based teaching, informative interviews, and encouraging segments of truth will uplift your day and help you grow spiritually. And as always, remind you that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. As we go into the Resource Center today, I see a big box of resources that are here for you. We've chosen these items exclusively from some of today's absolute best Bible teachers. This package includes 5 books, a prophecy DVD, and our 2021 prophecy calendar. The books Zenith by Tom Horn, Cauldron by Terry James, The Math of Christ by Stephen M. Bauer, The Ultimate Life by Heng Lim, and Chasing Perfect by Alicia Illion. Our 2021 prophecy calendar is included and a DVD by prophecy teacher Michael Hoggard. That's a value of $120. We're talking 5 books, a DVD, and our prophecy calendar for a gift of only $30 or more. So you can order your resource box today by calling 1-800-652-1144. You can also order your resource box online, swrc.com. Next time, Larry Spargimino will continue his study on the faithfulness of God. Thank you, my friends. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial support of this broadcast ministry. Without you, we could not be on the air. Thank you for your generous giving, and as always, thank you for your prayers. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit swrc.com.